I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. At Lighthouse, we're celebrating 26 years in business and just entering our 13th year of doing open line programs. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have our new 2020 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find archives of past topics on our publication event tab. We've been doing this for so long that you can only imagine that we've covered almost every topic you can imagine. So please feel free to dig through the archive and find topics that you need help on. Our third book, Cracking the High Performance Team Code, is now available. We also are offering, which has been a big hit, remote lunchtime workshops. Again, remote is key because most people are working remote, on stress and time management and leadership and mentoring workshops. Our topic today is On Your Way to the Next Normal. What will you take with you? My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. I'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic with Larry. For those of you joining us for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your business. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments for both new hire and for staff development, and assist companies with a variety of services, including skills testing, 360s, interpersonal coaching, team building, stress and time management workshops, and much, much more. We also have a brand new program. It's not a new program, actually. We had it years ago, but we've revised it. It's something you'll want to consider for your employees. It's called the Wellness Assistance Program. We call it WAP, W-A-P. There's no monthly fee. It's like an EAP program, but without the monthly cost to it. And it will help your team members through we provide counseling, various programs such as nutrition, meditation, anything from the wellness program, exercising at their desk, which we did last week for an open line program so you could get a sampling of what it's like. But if you'd like information on that, just please feel free to reach out to me. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you're going to see an area that you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible, so please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. At the conclusion of the program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests, so just keep notes along the way, or you can answer them in the chat box. I feel very privileged today to have Larry Cassidy back as a guest. Larry is a longtime friend, mentor, coach, you name it, Larry does it. And we're just very fortunate to have Larry on our program today. Larry's also a senior consultant for Lighthouse. He has been a Vistage International Chair for over 33 years and has done over 1,400 one-to-ones and over 1,600 CEO meetings. So he has been around for a long time, has heard every issue that can come up in business pretty much, and has a very sagey way of presenting ideas where the person actually goes, oh, that's what I should be doing. I've experienced it firsthand, so I should know. Prior to joining Vistage and Lighthouse, Larry worked for General Mills, PepsiCo, and a variety of other companies. He has a vast marketing experience and has held startup CEO positions. And just, again, has seen, you name it, he's seen it. So if you have questions after the program and want to spend some one-to-one time with Larry, please feel free to reach out. He's just a cool guy. We'll have some very interesting ideas today that he's going to share in helping us preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Our program next week, and we're running the open lines for a couple more weeks weekly because of all the issues that are coming up. But next week's going to be budget management and compensation during this mess. How do you like that? Great topic. Anyway, Larry, it is all yours, so please take it away.
Okay. It's good to be here with you again, Dana. So Dana and I talked about what might be a good topic, and I'll tell you real quickly how I arrived at this idea of what are you going to take with you, what are you going to leave behind. It kind of came out of an exercise I do with executives, which is what are you going to stop, what are you going to start, what are you going to continue, and what are you going to add. The executives I work with, and I'm going to oversimplify here, but I've seen them kind of chop things into maybe five distinct consecutive piles. The first was, probably a lot of you experienced it, I call, oh my God, how am I going to get through this? What's going on? And that settled down into the second phase of, hey, I've figured out how to make this work. I've got people working from home. I've got people distancing in the factory. I think I'm going to get through this. Phase three was, okay, now I want some of that money. I want a PPP or I want an SBA. There are consequences to that, but I'm not here to get into that, which kind of then led to what I see going on now, which is, how do I bring them back? I'm going to bring them back. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it safe? They all come back at once. Do they come back by departments, by functions, yada, yada, yada. And some of you, or maybe all of you, are considering that. But that kind of gets us to what I call the fifth phase, which is kind of the title of this talk. Because I think there's a huge urge out there to get back to normal, although I'm not sure anybody knows what normal is anymore. But there's also a group of people that are telling me that they believe everything is going to be different. I think the answer to both is no. I think some stuff will be different and some will be the same. You have a fundamental business and there are things you have to do to deliver your product or your service, but there may be some difference in how you do that. So to kind of complete this wordy introduction, I think we've been given a gift. That may sound strange, but I see it as a gift of time. We have had the time, if we've taken it, to pause, to consider, and to choose. What are we going to take with us from the old days, probably most of the stuff? What are we going to leave behind? Those things that you're thinking about, like, why was I doing that? I don't have to do that, or there's a better way to do that. And maybe what do I want to add to that? So that's kind of the introduction, and I've chopped this into four different slides or areas to talk about briefly. There's some redundancy, as you'll see, between the how do you do business inside and how do you do business outside, and I'll tell you why. It actually wasn't lazy proofreading. So, Dana, can you flip to the first side? Who will you do business with? He won't let me touch the controls. So he's my pilot here. Who are you going to do business with as you come out of this? You know, for some of you, you can just have to do business with anybody or everybody. Bad strategy, by the way. But let's take a look at a couple of different groups. Which of your employees stepped up? Who didn't? And who do you want to keep? Are you going to keep everybody, or was this an opportunity to end up with the better players? That's your question to answer. But the people I work with are pretty clear on the people that went the extra, you know, yard, did extra, and a few folks who did became a problem. So that's one area that I would certainly look at. There's nothing more important in your business than people. People create all the problems you have, and people create all the good stuff you have. And I would take a good hard look at that. And Dana and Lighthouse is a great organization to help you keep a check on that. Secondly, review, prune, and maybe add to your vendor list. I've got some of my clients whose vendors were really cooperative, and I've got some whose vendors weren't. Same for your customer list. You want to keep all the same customers, or is this the time to take a look at that list and You know, who are you really not making money with? Who causes all the problems? Who sucks up all of your time? These things, by the way, are things that we should be doing all the time, but we get so sucked up into doing all that good business back when business was good, which, by the way, was ended in mid-March. Fourth is review, prune, and add to the business segments that you serve. That's more of a strategic decision. I was talking to a services company today, and we immediately agreed they want to ramp up their effort in healthcare. Healthcare should be a really big deal in the next several years, given what we've gone through and what we may go through, hopefully not, but likely in the next decade. Those are just four areas. You may have a couple more in terms of who you want to do business with or don't want to do business with. And I guess we'll come back if you have any questions at the end of this chat. So, Dana, can you flip to the next slide?
Okay.
Okay. How are you going to do business inside your business? In terms of how you operate your business. And like I said, there's going to be some things on this slide that pop up on the outside slide. I'll try to differentiate them. One of the things that I hear, and obviously I don't know you men and women who I'm talking to here, but if you travel, and I have clients that do a lot of travel, I have some clients that do very little, but the ones that do a lot of travel, without question, they are all kind of contemplating, how much travel do I really want to or need to do? This video conferencing thing, excuse me, turns out to be pretty effective. Yep, I've got to go out and show the flag. I've got to visit the plants. I've got to visit my operations in Australia or China or Europe. But do I have to do it as often? Or can I actually be connected with the people I need to be connected with more often with less travel, using Teams or Zoom or GoToMeeting or whatever the protocol is? I think that's a potentially sizable change. Kind of makes me wonder if I want to own airline stock right now. Obviously, inside the use of Slack and other quick communication tools, I think makes things much more effective for the companies that do that. I have some clients who have taken the time and gone through the agony of switching to being paperless, and I think that makes it easier to work from anywhere. The reverse of that is one particular client who, in their parts department, their process is to shove paper around. So they had to have people in the building, even though they didn't want to, because otherwise things would grind to a halt. I don't know if you feel your business is amenable to going paperless, but that's something I would take a hard look at. Improving your website so you can do business if you're not in the building. I don't know how many of you would put eyes on your website as if you were an outsider looking in and decide, am I easy to do business with? Is this clear? Is it easy to buy from me online if you have to or you want to? I think that's almost a must over the next 6 months, is to do an audit of how effective your website is in terms of either doing or replacing in part some of your business. I have one client, I think several now, triggered by this one client who commented that it was just a nightmare with people grabbing all kinds of IT equipment and trying to lug it home. He's already in the process of converting most of the desktops in the company. He'll finish within about 3 months. Two laptops with docking stations all set up. So if something happens, we're living in California, so it doesn't have to be a pandemic. It can be an earthquake. It can be a flood. It could be a lot of different things out here. That's all part of living the dream. And if you run into something like that, you grab the laptop under one arm and the monitor under the other, they're home that afternoon, they're plugged in, they're back in business. Continued and still working from home, working remotely. That, along with less travel, would be the second thing that pops up most frequently with my clients. A lot of them are telling me they don't plan to bring all their people back. Not everybody, but a surprising number. I don't know what that means for each client. Is it 8 or 10 work from home? Or is it 40 or more? I don't know if I have this quite right, but I think I saw something from Google yesterday where they're talking about a significant part of their workforce will work from home in the future. And you stop and think, what does that mean for the office space business? I've got a couple of my clients who are prepared to move, needed to move. We're actually a couple of them looking at potential properties, not going to move now. They're going to have people work from home. And if you're thinking of doing that, there's a lot of stuff you have to think through, including your IT capabilities, security for people, IT security for people working from home, et cetera, et cetera. But I suggest that you first define those functions which lend themselves to working from home. Some do much better than others. Obviously, factory workers can't work from home. And then looking at the function, which people in that function seem to be as or more effective working from home. So that's kind of how you whittle it down to the folks who are real candidates to work from home. They're in a function that makes sense, and they do really well. Some people are actually more productive working from home. Continued selective working from home remotely, I think, is going to be a serious deal. I mentioned before rotating schedules. A lot of the people that are talking about having people work from home, particularly those who didn't have that before, are also saying that they want that person in the office maybe a day a week or a day every other week so they connect with and have some relationship with the people in the office with whom they're working. Makes sense. I have a few people talking about some form of childcare investment. And what that really spins out of, I think, is most of us feel that it's going to be hard to get everybody back to work on the schedule we want until schools are back up and running. I have clients who, both my client and their spouse, have been trapped at home with 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids who are also trying to do schoolwork. So they're an office worker from home. They're a teacher at home. They're a monitor at home. They're a comp. If any of you were in this situation, I do not have to describe it for you. It's very tough. I already mentioned less commitment to office space. There's probably 10 more things you have to think about in terms of how you're going to do business. But maybe some of those may or may not pop out if you have any questions. Dana, can you flip to the next slide?
Sure. Also, I wanted to mention that probably 30 years ago or so, Pac Bell did a survey in conjunction with USC of the efficiency for working at home. Pac Bell was trying to push telecommuting, and they were too early on the scene probably. But what they did find from the study was that the right person will actually be 30 to 300% more effective by working at home. Those are big numbers.
And yeah, I've come across similar kinds of ideas. I sprinkle those with a little bit of salt because quite often the people running the study want the numbers to promote what they want to do. But there's been some independent studies that suggest, and I think you nailed it, Dana, that if it's the right person, you can have somebody who is way more productive at home. And, you know, and I might add to that part of the discussion, I think that the more we have people working from home, the more we are going to have to learn how to evaluate our people on their performance and their productivity. We're no longer giving them extra credit for being at their desk at 8:30 and not doing a lot of water cooler talk and being back from lunch on time and all those things that kind of came out of the military way that we ran businesses after World War II. If I'm working from home, I have a certain number of calls that I need to make during the day, and I need to produce a certain number of orders out of that. And I'm going to be, or I should be, more easy to evaluate based on my performance. I think that's going to be a bit of a shift for some of us. Back to the outside. Unless you have something else to say, Dana?
Nope.
So how do we do business outside? Some of the same things pop up. And if you do less travel, you do more video conferencing, that may be a right thing for you to do, a significant change. How does that land with the people in your organization who are not going to see you as often, the customers who may not see you in person as often? Are they going to be doing the same thing? Is that going to be okay with them? There may be a bit of picking and choosing in terms of this may not be a one-size-fits-all in terms of the outreach and the people that you used to touch regularly who you may touch a little less often. We talked about the website. And I want to come back and double-stress the idea. There are very few things that you can do that people will like any better than being easy to do business with. Think Amazon. I buy almost everything from Amazon, unless I can't, unless that's something I got to go see or touch, like tomatoes or avocados or something like that. Websites can make you easy to do business with, or they can make you look like you got left in the last century. And overall, you want your website to make an important and positive statement about your brand. I don't know what you guys do, but I'm thinking of buying a new big screen TV, or I'm thinking of buying almost anything. I go somewhere, probably Amazon, but I may go to the company's website. That's the first thing I do. And I read the reviews, and I do all the things that I think a lot of you do. And then I either buy it there or I buy it somewhere else if I get a better price, whatever. But your website has to be an easy-to-do business thing. That's critical. And it also has to present your brand in a way that people think you're with it, you know what you're doing. I talked about the more laptops with company software, grab and grow, go work from home. I've had some HR people tell me, and Danny, you may want to chime in on this, that there's some people, like my son, works in a property casualty insurance operation, and he's willing to work extra hours, but he's not an exempt employee yet, so they don't want him working extra hours for a couple of reasons. So if you're going to have the laptops, the company software, grab and go, et cetera, you got to have a good personnel work policy that everybody understands. There are legal consequences to that, and I'm kind of above my pay grade talking about that. But Dana may be able to, you know, help you understand what some of those are. Maybe one of his consultants can. The continued working from home we've talked about. and the less commitment to office space. I think the less commitment to office space and the less commitment to doing as much travel, as I've said, are two things that will weigh heavily on those segments of the economy. Last slide, Dana.
Sure can. Yeah, one of our clients, they were too heavy into office space across the country, and the market changed all of a sudden, and they are considering going BK over the whole issue. So I think if you can, and this particular organization has been anti anybody working from home. I've been pushing this company for years to let their salespeople and accounting people work from their home, and CEO just wouldn't have it. Now they are forced to have to do it, and it's very, very uncomfortable. And the CEO is stuck with all of this heavy real estate expense.
Yeah, I have some people that are uncomfortable. I mean, it's for we older traditionalists. It's like, well, I don't want to do that. I want my people in here. But I'm surprised how many are kind of, well, you know, maybe that's an idea that's come. Maybe that's a good idea. You know, and then they have the CFO run the numbers. And, oh, that is a pretty good idea. I mean, even though a lot of my clients are making payments to their employees who are working remotely to help cover internet costs, phone costs, et cetera. It's still economically, they're telling me economically, it beats moving and new office space and all of that. But I think the word, and I may have used the wrong word in a couple places on these slides, isn't just working from home. It's working remotely. There may be people who are, as you said, Dana, really productive outside the office, working remotely, but they would be less productive if they were working at home with their kids around. So that takes me back to, I know like WeWork has really struggled, but I wonder if that remote working space idea may become a lot stronger idea over the next few years for people who want to work remotely. Don't want to commute, but don't want to be just in their home in their bunny slippers and pajamas with their kids around. I'm hearing a lot of conversation about what they're going to have to do in the office. Improved continuous sanitation, more health, more safety programs. These all have dollar signs in front of them. But I think at least for a while we're going to see a lot of that. And if I put a subparagraph under that, I'd ask you, all of you who are listening, so you're going to be bringing employees back, or you are bringing employees back. What are you letting them bring back with them? Did they take a computer? Did they take a mouse, a keyboard, an extra monitor? You have a cleaning sanitation process for that when you bring it back into the office? I mean, that's just one question. How do you keep the place healthy and safe for your people? Not only how do you keep it healthy and safe, but how do you have your people believing that you're doing that for them and feeling comfortable? Masks, gloves, sanitizer stations. Hopefully, masks, gloves, and sanitizer stations won't break out into a fist fight between different camps of people that believe different things. I think a lot of businesses are going to require it. I've got some pretty conservative people I work with who are mandating masks, gloves, and sanitizer stations. Not because they're true believers particularly, but they want to do everything they can to keep their people safe and healthy, not only for their people, but because that allows them to run their business, allows them to keep the doors open. The one I think is a real challenge. I mean, you can put hand sanitizers around and keep them wear masks when they're out of their cubicle and yada yada. How do you distance in an office or a plant? I have manufacturers who the very manufacturing process requires two or three people to work together. or work side by side on a line. I mean, there's ways to do it, but it's a lot more difficult than, say, when my son goes back to work, he'll be in a cubicle, and he'll kind of automatically be 6 to 8 feet away from anybody else. So if you're operating a manufacturing, production, assembly facility, you have a different kind of challenge. Maybe rotating people in and out of the office space, working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, the next group works Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and the off 2 days you work at home. I don't know the solution to it, but I think that the distancing within the office and plant is going to be the tough one over time. And I think you're also fighting one other thing, and that is that people like to come together and talk and, you know, talk about the weekend and what they did, and that's just in our nature. So a lot of this is fighting our nature. So those are some of the thoughts I have on who do you want to do business with, how are you going to manage it inside and outside, and what are the things you're going to do around safety. There's probably, if I'd had time to think it up, another 3 or 4 slides, but I think this is a lot of stuff to think about, and I'm going to turn it back to Dana and see if any of you have any questions or what Dana wants to do with the rest of the time.
That's it. And no more slides? We're done?
That's it.
Okay, that is it. We, and you've covered a lot of areas. We were brought into a company probably 10 years ago when it was a multinational, multi-billion dollar organization, and the CFO was walking into people's offices. They were in a high-rise at corporate, and found that 50% of the people he wanted to talk to weren't in their office. So he runs into HR and says, "Where is everybody?" "Well, they're traveling." He goes, "Well, why do we have this building?" So in a very short period of time, they renegotiate with the owners. They get rid of the building. They move to a different part of the country that was better off for them because of the business they're in. And they put up what they called hotel suites across the country. So if people needed meeting rooms or just an office to go to and get away from home, they go there, but they're very inexpensive compared to a huge office complex. So there's different ways to look at things, but that CFO was a pretty sharp guy. He saved them who knows how much money. But everybody was much happier because they didn't have dry cleaning bills, they didn't have lunch expenses. The list just goes on and on and on. So there are so many positives for people working at home when they can that it's just a plus-plus. What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn off the recording feature in just a second, and we're going to open up the line in case anybody has any questions for Larry. So everyone can please hold on, and what I'd like you to do is put your phone on mute, not on hold, but on mute, and then unmute it if you have a question for Larry. But I want to wrap this up while we have the recording on still. Larry, I want to thank you very much for being part of OpenLine again, for being part of Lighthouse and all the wonderful ideas that you share constantly with us. We're just extremely grateful to have you in our life. So thank you. So everyone, please hold on for 1 second. We'll be right back.